The Rosh of Aris Chavtes continues. Says a person shouldn't rely on Mishenes Bnei Adam. Then the Rosh says, "Well, Tosim Zohav Kislecha. Don't make money your support, that which you rely on. Your kessel is that you're bitachon in. I bitachon in my money." The process of making money, your source of support, that your source of guarantee of your security, you should know that's avodah zarah. You're on your way to avodah zarah, right? So somebody made a comment, says we don't have avodah zarah b'zman hazeh. I disagree very strongly. We have plenty of avodah zarah b'zman hazeh. Most people, their avodah zarah is the dollar, right? The million dollars. But the avodah zarah, that's. Spend your money, spread it out as a Kodesh Baruch Hu so desires. The Baruch Hu will place it. He will give you what you need. So Rosh touches on the attitude towards money. I think there's two nakudas about money. I think money to me is a tremendous chesed from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a mind-boggling thing, right? We live in a world which is a very physical world. It's limited, it ends. Person takes a dollar, takes $2, buys something and gives it to his friend as a present. Cheers the guy up. He made Olam Haba out of $2. He took something which was limited and finite. Mashu, $1, $1.50, $1. Use it to tell somebody I thought about you. In a significant way, because I just even spent money, which is valuable in our society. And because of that, he pushed it, helped somebody. So he did something which is of everlasting value. It's eternity. It's Olam Haba. So you live in a world, you can take 50 cents and make Olam Haba out of it. It's a tremendous chesed. The Bresham did. But he created money. The problem is that sometimes we get focused on it's such a powerful thing, so we want to hold on to it because it has such power. So the Rosh says, "Pazer b'moincha b'ashehu rutzoni." Understand that Bresham gave you money to spend. He didn't give you money to keep. He gave you money to spend it on good things. Bresham wants you to have that which you need to be able to take care of and spend as much as you can on opportunities of taking this powerful thing called money and turning it into something even greater than it is itself. The Mor says that Reish Lakish left behind a world, a life of being a listim, which obviously I imagine that he was doing fairly well financially. He seemed to be the head of the listim. Imagine he got a good cut, right? So he had he was doing very well financially. To come a Talmud Chacham, he's raising his family. He had no money, right? So what did he live on? He used to go down to buy the agam that they had. They had by the agam. They had this free type of a vegetable which grew. That's the family lived on. So he used to each day gather a certain amount that he would have what he and his family needed for the day, and that was it. The day he was nifter, he has ein koba bayis. L'rosh ein koba bayis. He owns nothing. He's nifter. He has a kav amerikas left over. So his portfolio, right, his retirement portfolio that he leaves over to his family, is a kav amerikas. So he has a quart of vegetables, Says Karal Nafshe, he says about himself the Pasuk, you worked so hard in this world, you gathered so much, you put so much effort and energy and kayak into it, and Nebuch, you leave it over for somebody else. It's a waste of your efforts. Nebuch, it's a waste of his effort. He could have chopped another Gomorrah, blot of Gomorrah, instead of chopping another Kava Marikas. So he misused his strength for something which was finite. It's a little bit different than the average thought process about portfolios nowadays. You know, his portfolio, his leftover portfolio was 3 cents. Nebuch, 3 cents, a waste of money. I could have hopped around another lot of Gomorrah and not spent the 3 cents. That, So you had money, use it. What do you do with money? You do good things with it. Money gives you this feeling of guarantee of security. So it's interesting, you know, I think that till a few years ago, I've heard this from different people, that you know, there was this feeling of a certain path, or a person had control over their lives. They felt secure, guaranteed. You got this degree, you got this type of job, etc., etc. After the economic downturn, which took place a few years ago, it's hard for anybody to convince himself. I was talking with somebody, he says, you know, if he would look at his path, of, you know, the degree that he got, the job that he landed, the way where he made his money, one had nothing to do with the other. Zero. There's no shaykhis. Right, and he gets up, and he works in real estate. You know, so you make a phone call. You know, does somebody have something they want to sell you? Why should they? Why should they not do it? You know, the whole thing is ridiculous, right? You know, there's no logic behind it, and it works. But we like having this feeling of being in control. It's much more comfortable if I know what's going to be tomorrow. So how do I know it's going to be tomorrow? I have money. Money takes care of everything. Right? So money is power, and I have money. He says, oh, but that's mamash, you're making zov kislecho, and that's skilas avodasavodasar. So what's the other end of the spectrum? The other spectrum, the person, he just throws money around, he doesn't have any, you know, there's a response, it's the person has to be responsible. The person has to be responsible. You know, say, listen, you know, I'll take a loan, and I don't pay back, but the Bereshim will take care. That's not proper either. The Bereshim gave you a kli called money to use responsibly. So that the person has an achrayus to take, that's part of his achrayus of vis-a-vis other people. That we live in a world, that this is how the society functions. We have an achrayus to other people, and we have to do it properly. But that the purpose is the guarantee that what's going to be about the guarantee, that's the goal, is the guarantee, that there's no guarantees. I told you the story that I had that, you know, I don't know why I fell for it, but they was American Express Financial Services was offering a free hour with a financial consultant. Said, okay, and a free hour with a financial consultant, and why not? You know, let's see if he can help me. This is a while back, and I figured, like, I wanted to make an account to start putting money away to be able to pay for the tuition, for the children's tuition. That's something which I felt was very valuable. I like to pay as much tuition as I can. That's my responsibility to the schools. If I can pay full, I want to pay full, you know. But, you know, you have to have a plan to be able to pay full tuition. It's not a very easy thing to pay full tuition, especially if you live in Silver Spring, Maryland. You know, full tuition is not cheap. Right? So I figure this guy maybe has a plan how to help me put budget and work it out so it's worthwhile. An hour free? Well, so I meet the guy, a Jewish guy, actually, not from, meet him. So he says, you know, so the first thing you have to have a retirement fund. So he says, I don't want a retirement fund. I want a fund to fund college. We'll call it funding college. He says, no. First thing, it has to be a retirement fund. He says, I don't want a retirement fund. I want that. So what's going to be the retirement? So, you know, that step I'm not ready to deal with right now. That God will take care of. All right? I'll work as long as much as I can, and afterwards I'll have to see. And if I can, yes, if I can be responsible enough to take some of my money and put it away, so I shouldn't have to come to other people at that point in time, that's also responsible. But right now, my first responsibility is I have to pay for my kids. I have to pay for my kids. I need to address that. That's immediate. And that's my responsibility. So no, you have to have a retirement fund. So you spent the hour arguing back and forth about whether you have a retirement fund or not. And that was the end of the free hour, and that was the end of it. I got a few drushes out of it. It was worth it. All right? So, let's get this straight. Yes, money is a very important thing. I need to spend money responsibly. I have a chrayus to the school, and I have a chrayus to the community to use it as best as I can. Chrayus to my family. Right? I shouldn't have to come under somebody else. If I can do it myself, I should do it myself. But it's a right. So that means money is a tool. It's a tool. So as long as you're the person who's in charge and the money is a tool, it's a very healthy thing. The Kesaviana Sako, the Sefer from the Kotzka. The Kotzka says, you know, the Velt, you know, there's a Nusach up here, but Kabbalah says that the whole world is a Moshel. It says, yeah, but the Nimshel is Gelt. Right? Right? But when it comes that we got to the point where money, you know, money, the power which it gives makes me feel good, makes me feel in control. So the goal is I want to have control, not responsibility, but control. Control, that's about as already. Retorsky says this, you know, say, you know, in the terms that he says that he's a psychiatrist. He says psychiatrist jokes. So a fellow comes to the psychiatrist, you know, he comes to the, you know, and says, "Why are you here?" Says, "I don't know. I don't know why I'm here." Says, "Well, you came for a reason." And says, "I don't know. My family said I had to come." "Why did your family say you had to come?" He says, "Because they think I'm crazy." "Why do they?" "I don't know. What did they say?" They think I'm crazy because I like pancakes." He says, "That's strange. I also like pancakes." "Well, doesn't make you crazy." He says, "Really? You like pancakes? You should come visit my house. I have thousands stored in the attic." So that's called strange. But you say, "I have a lot of, they have pieces of green paper stored in my attic. I'm called normal." Why? So it's every person looks at it, the Rosh Hashanah gave us a tremendous tool, a beautiful tool, which we can use to help people, to do mitzvahs, to translate into a world which is a greater, better currency than what we have over here. We can use it to act responsibly vis-a-vis our Christ, other people. It's almost one of the most powerful, beautiful things the Rosh Hashanah created in the world. The Mor says, that Mumma Zamelach, there was a famine, so he took all the oitzes that all of his predecessors, his ancestors had gathered, and he spent the money to take care of the nation. And his family came to him, you know, like, "How are you talking?" And the Mor goes through a whole long list of how he says they stored money in a place where it can be destroyed, and I'm storing it in a place where it can't be destroyed. He says, a dollar spent in Olam Haba is a dollar guaranteed. That's guaranteed. That's security. What's security in this world? Rabbi Aaron said over the mice about, you know, the a few weeks ago, Shabbos, it's been his manim. There's a person he knows personally. A person grew up impoverished. It's always lacking money, and so money was such a big thing. He promised himself he's going to live a life never lacking money, never running after dealing with being creditors. He's never going to do that. Went into business, had a good cushion business, was doing well, but he never would get involved in a project unless he had the money to pay for it up front. And he'd make sure that he had everything in place before he would go into it. He would have the investors. Everything was. He would spend much more time making sure everything was in place before you get involved in any type of job, type of business. He had an opportunity for a very nice investment, and it took him a period of time, about a year or two, to get everything in place. The investors, the loans, the properties, and he had the people who are going to rent the property already lined up. He already had the money from the people who are going to rent the properties already lined up. Everything was ready to go. He's going to start building. People were paying him money on leaving the Rebbe Shilas out, right? Leaving that he was already paying him the money for the rentals on the properties that he's going to develop. Everything's in place. Now he's ready to go. Everything is perfect. He calls up the bank. He's ready to go. Line is disconnected. Lehman Brothers went bankrupt that day. And for the next, he didn't want to lose the property because it was worth millions and millions of dollars. So he had all this money that he borrowed and taken from people, which he had to pay back. So he worked like a dog for the next 2.5 years with people hounding him night and day to be able not to lose that property because he held this beautiful investment he wants to hold on to. His worst fear came after him. There's no way you can guarantee, you know, he had everything lined, it was guaranteed, it was perfect. Yeah, but. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. But we have such a strong need. If you wanted to hear it, you know, I think that was out of Mauritians. This is the first case. V'yisim kelokim. We wanted to be in control. The lakim means talk of bal yachelos bal kechos kulam. He's the boss. We wanted to be the boss. He wants to be. He's the one who makes the decisions of how. The person that we made us. We do. That's our nature. We talk of build our olam haba. We make our own world. We make it ourselves. But we transfer that thought process of making our own world from Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh. So you want to be the ones who are in control of our Olam Hazeh. It's such an intrinsic need that we have. And that's Avodah Zarah. And that's the person has to stop and he has to fight. Just, we suppose, one time I was talking about standing over here talking about college. Somebody asked, what are the challenges, what are the issues a person has to be aware of when he goes to college? So I said, listen, you don't need me to tell you about the apicursis that there's in college. You don't need me to tell you about the theist issues which exist in college. You don't need me to tell you about the balance, the issues of balance, of that there's a lot of waste of time and frivolity, etc. So that's not the issue of college. The issue of college is, wherever you go, a person believes in something, they send you, they're subtly sending you a message of what's important in life. You go into an English literature class, and the professor is telling you, if you don't know English literature, you are not a human being. That's his message. He believes in it. That's what he teaches. He believes this is valuable. You go into history class, and the historian is telling you, without history, du bist gar nicht. You don't understand life. He's selling you a message. There's a subtle message. And you go into economics class, and they're selling you something that's called money. Right? The professor's saying, money. Everybody's saying, yes, money. And the person says, money. Everybody says, yes, money. And that's what it's about. The whole class is money, 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 money. That's what life is about. That is a message which you get in any class that you go to, because the bottom line is called the bottom line. If you're successful in America means you're a nice person, you're good to your family, you're sweet, you're pleasant, you help other people, and you're wonderful. No, it means you have money. You can be the meanest person and the lowest despicable human being. You're not horrible to your family, but you're successful, really, as a human being, because you have money. That's our society, and that's what society sells you day and night. And if you don't stop and challenge it intellectually and honestly and say, well, that's ridiculous. And you don't keep telling yourself it's ridiculous, you start believing it. I feel more confident when I have money. I feel better about myself when I have a new car. Because like driving around with a car, which is like, has double dimples, is not as a schmuck car, but it does have double dimples. Like, who cares? I'm a better person because my car doesn't have dimples. I like my car. I actually like the dimples in my car anyway, but that's besides the point. I got a new suit. It's a certain schmuck. I have something. It makes me a better person. I have more possessions. I feel good about myself. I have possessions. It's mamash, that's what we do. Now you can even do it with a sefer. I have the sefer. So man, I can learn more Torah. No, there's a certain geshmak. I'm owning the sefer. It's also an Avodah Zarah. There's a Lusach one of Rishonim says you can make a sefer into Avodah Zarah also. Right? Because it's that idea of I own something. I am, and you have to constantly challenge it that that's not true. It's not real. It's a fake, and it's the emperor's new clothes. And every person in the society is saying yes, 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 new clothes, beautiful clothes. It's wonderful. It's important. And deep down, it's ridiculous. And if you don't keep challenging it, it absorbs and absorbs and absorbs.